This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Hope Springs Eternal.
A funny thing happened on the way from the dry cleaners. You know, yesterday, things were pretty busy, and Jean, among many other things she did yesterday, she picked up my dry cleaning. And when she came home and eventually got in the house and I saw the dry cleaning hanging there, I realized that it wasn't the whole of my dry cleaning. My two suits were still in the dry cleaner. And one of the first things that came into my mind was, they lost my suits. You know, this is not an airline. This is not your baggage. But the first thing that popped into my mind was, oh, they lost my suits. And then I started to dwell on that a little bit. And I said, oh, man, what's that going to be like, trying to go to through those thousands of pieces of clothing to find my two suits? Well, that was really pretty lousy thinking on my part. I mean, why was the first thing that came into my mind the worst thing that could possibly come out of not seeing my two suits hanging there with the rest of my dry cleaning? Why is that? That so many times we rush to what's possibly the worst conclusion in a situation, even as simple as dry cleaning. Now, there is an answer, very simple answer. There were two dry cleaning orders. One I brought one week and one I brought the other week, and the other ticket wasn't there. So I'll go Monday, I'll get my suits, and everything will be fine. But why did I anticipate the worst? And I guess the broader question is, why do we so many times seem to anticipate the worst possible outcome? And allowing ourselves to think the worst possible outcome, does it help? Does it help going to the worst outcome to start with? So there are times when people feel trapped. Have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever felt overwhelmed, over your head? Desperate, dejected, pessimistic, disappointed, unhappy. All of these are synonyms. Remember that word synonyms? These are words that mean the same. These are all synonyms for the word hopeless. Hopeless. And hopelessness can be triggered by things like this. The loss of a job. People can feel hopeless. The loss of your health. And the loss of a relationship. Oftentimes we say to ourselves when we're feeling hopeless, quote, there isn't much I can do about my feelings of hopelessness. And that thinking only feeds your feelings of hopelessness. It only feeds your unhappy, negative, and in worst case scenarios. And secular behavioral therapists say you shouldn't be doing that because there is something you can do about your emotions. Now listen to what the world says. Listen to what the psychiatrist says. Listen to what PhD Dr. Lynn Clark in her book SOS Help for Emotions writes. Quote, manage your emotions before they manage you. She goes on to say you are responsible for managing your emotions. She goes on to say, we primarily cause our own emotions. And then she goes on to say, learn to soothe your emotions. The author, Henry David Thoreau, said, things don't change, we change. God tells us in His Word that His truths can change our thinking and reach into our emotional set, displacing our sense of hopelessness with His promises of hope as an anchor in the storms of life that you're going through. You see, all of these people who say you can get through this are really plagiarizing God's Word. God's the book from which they got the idea that you can be optimistic through the most pessimistic moments of your life. You can have a joy when you should really be on your face in tears. This morning, I'd like to share with you five reasons you can have a hope powerful enough to chase away the clouds of despair that will come into anybody's life. And if they haven't come yet, hang on. Romans chapter 5, verses 1-5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. There's something to learn from these hard times. What is it? Knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Reason number one for our hope, found in verses 1 and 2, that hope is preceded by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, if he's not in here, I can understand why you feel hopeless. But by the same token, if he's in here, you don't have to be victimized by hopelessness. If he's not in here, like he isn't for so many of your friends and family and neighbors, you can understand why there's that hopelessness. There seems to be an overarching sense of hopelessness in the world. Think of the political situation just in this country. And they talk about the people are angry, and they talk about the people are disillusioned. And when you're angry and disillusioned, sometimes that's just a mask to cover your sense of hopelessness. Maybe what we're really dealing with in America today is a sense of hopelessness on the part of young people who've gone to college, did all the right things, can't even get a job. And now they're stuck with tens of thousands of dollars of money they had to spend for that education, which taught them how to bake. Baking's not a bad thing. Go out and try it. Jesus is the starting point of real change in a person's life. Because of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Peace with God begins the process of peace within myself, and over time it branches out to peace with others. If you don't have peace with God, forget it. You're not going to be able to have any kind of peace within, because God's not going to allow you to have that without him. There's going to be that sense of restlessness in the soul. That's some of the stuff you see in the world today. That sense of restlessness. You know why? They're looking for something they can never find outside of Jesus. Looking for something to satisfy and fill and give purpose and meaning to a life. And if you do it in any direction, in any way that takes you away from God, you're going to find out you're going down the empty street. There's no there there. There's only there there here in this book and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of this book. Because of Jesus Christ, when God sees us, he sees us just as if we've never sinned. In other words, here's another thing the world is looking for. The world is looking for forgiveness and can't seem to find it. Forgiveness overpowers guilt, shame, and the destructive powers of sin within us. And people are looking for that, and they can't find it anywhere. It's not in religion. It's only in the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ, we receive God's grace and mercy and unconditional love. His love is a love, grace, and mercy, which over time can bring us hope and joy that can drive out despair. If you just could know that you're free from the power of guilt and shame and sin, and that you have someone who loves you unconditionally, who'll never let you go, how liberating is that? How freeing is that? How comforting in that is that? You have all that in Christ Jesus. Somebody says, well, if you're happy, you might as well reform your face, because it doesn't look it. We should be happy people walking around this planet. As a result of all that Jesus has brought to us, we need to remind ourselves through the hopeless times. Number one, tough times. Desperate and dark hours may oppress you, but they cannot destroy you. You may be oppressed by these things. You might feel under it, but you will never be crushed by these things. Life's disappointments are not the garbage heap upon which our spent dreams and lofty aspirations are cast. Our text tells us this. What we just read tells us this. That tough times, trials, and troubles become the testing ground upon which, by patience and experience, we can know that God keeps his promise to care for us, to shepherd us, to go through things with us, to guide us, and to keep us. These trials that you're going through are meant to show you that God's never going to leave you. Meant to show you that you can get through with this. You have this experience one after another, but you keep on needing to learn it, don't you? That God hasn't abandoned me during that difficult time, but maybe he'll abandon me in this difficult time. He didn't then, he won't now. Experience teaches you that. The Christian's hope is not in a religion, it's not in another person, it's not in your job, it's not in a promotion, it's not in a raise, it's not in a 401k, it's not in a bank account or material things. A Christian's hope is anchored fast in Christ Jesus, and with his help, he can change your thinking. Because this is where it all starts. It all starts up here. Dry cleaning. My suits weren't there. Obviously, my suits are lost. It's all starting out here. That's nothing to do with reality. I mean, reality's back there in the dry cleaner, hanging on the shelf. But I made my own reality. I thought myself into worry and concern for no reason at all. Reason number two comes from verse 5. Christians have hope because the Holy Spirit is alive and living in us. The Holy Spirit's alive and living in you. Do you know that? Romans 15:13 says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Isn't it wonderful, the God we have? He's not just piecemealing things out to us. We have such a gracious God. We have such a giving God. It came to my head some point during this week, I don't even remember when it was, that God is not a miser. God is not stingy. Every time you read about the things that God is giving us, like here in this verse, that our hope abounds. He promises us abundance. He promises us peace that goes beyond our ability to understand. He keeps pouring out his grace. He keeps pouring out his mercy. He doesn't sprinkle it on us. And that's not something against those who don't believe in baptism by immersion. That's just, you know, he's not sprinkling grace on us. He's not sprinkling hope on us. He's not sprinkling his love on us. He's pouring it out on you. You're drowning in it. What a God. It's the mission of the Holy Spirit to guide the believer through the storms of life. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the strength by God's word to work through the awful feelings of hopelessness. The Holy Spirit in you takes an active role in every nook and cranny of my life. That means he's involved in my home life, in my thought life, in my finances, in my relationships, in the job that I used to have, and every kind of decision or dilemma that a Christian faces. These areas can be trigger points for distress and hopelessness. All the things we cling to can become trigger mechanisms by which we feel hopeless. Just have the threat of losing your job come up. Now you had your job, you got your paycheck, the dude signed his or her name on air, you cashed it every week, but now all of a sudden, just the threat. This is an awful thing that American industry does, and this is most companies. If the word gets out that there's going to be a layoff, who's the first person you think about? Be honest, would you please? Yeah, of course. We think about, does that mean me? And what happens is that fear rises up in the hearts of all of us. And it's understandable. It's human. When layoffs come, I'd be thinking of that myself. Again, my dry cleaning. If I'm thinking about my dry cleaning that way, why don't I go back about my job? The Holy Spirit desires to lead you, but you must submit to his leading. And until we allow him to enter all the corners and locked rooms of our thinking and behavior, he can't control all aspects of who we are. His absence in any part of our life can lead to a feeling of hopelessness. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to have rule and reign in all the parts that make us who we are, you can't control your children's lives, parents. You don't know what's going to happen to your health tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in your job. You're out of control of most things. They're in God's control. You got to give it to him. You got to give every aspect of your life, because every aspect of your life really is in shadows. You don't see clearly what's in that room, what's down that road. You think you can see it all clearly. You want to believe it's all going to be okay. Reason number three, we have hope because we have the Bible. Now, Pastor, these are very oversimplified things. No, these are very complex things. How many people don't have the Bible? How many people don't believe in the Bible? How many people believe the Bible is a myth, a fable, filled with errors and inconsistencies when it's not? I've told you before that people have said to me, oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. And almost every time I ever asked was, can you show me one? And then I get Ralph Cramden. Have it. They don't know, but they're just repeating what somebody else told them. Psalm 119, verse 30 says this, the entrance of thy words, the book, giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. When you are overcome with hopelessness, you are in a dark place. Amen? Amen? You've been there? You can say amen to that? When you're filled with hopelessness, you're in a dark place. If only you could see the light out at the end of the tunnel, that would give you hope. If only you could see a light at the end of the tunnel. It's dark in here. I'm afraid in here. It's lonely in here. I'm all alone in here. Darkness. If only I could see just a pinprick of light ahead of me. If only you could know that what you're going through is somehow God is going to get you through it. If only you could know. That's where the book comes in. We read back there in Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, as one example, that God's word is acting like a guiding light to give us a different perspective on our storm and a directing light to show us that there is a way through that storm. God is giving you the light of the scripture to help you get a different perspective on your issue at the moment, your circumstance. He's helping put it in perspective. He's helping you to understand that this is not the end of the world. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? Well, what is the worst that's going to happen? I mean, for most people, the worst that's going to happen, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of minutes, is that you're going to die. For you, is that really the worst thing that's going to happen? If you know Christ as your Savior? I don't think so. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm counting on it. I'm living like it's true. That does a lot for me. It's a directing light. Directing light meaning that it's going to show you the path that God's going to take you down to get you through this and get you out on the other side of this alive and doing all right. You've lost that perspective. Verse 3 in the text that we read earlier says, problems and trial help us develop endurance. And verse 4 says, endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope. And verse 5 says that confident hope will not lead to disappointment. In other words, if you really believe that God's word can help you, and you really trust it to do what it's promised to say here, and follow it, it's not going to disappoint you. You can only be disappointed when this is on a shelf and you never opened it up. And you just have this hope in air and not claiming his promises. Claim his promises and see what happens. He's promised he'll never disappoint you. Reason number 4, we have hope because we have eternal life. Now that may not seem like much more than words, but I want you to think about it. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Death is the elephant in the parlor of life. Think of it. Death, in a way, differs for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior from those who do. I mean, we see death differently than they do. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you ignorant. Again, uninformed doesn't mean stupid. It means that you just don't know. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, people who have died, that you sorrow not as others which have no, what? Hope. You don't look at death the same way as those who don't have Christ in their life. You don't look at the death of your believing husband as one whose non-believing husband just died. You don't believe, you don't look at your terminal illness in the same way as those who do not know Christ see their terminal illness. You don't see a lot of these things the way those who do not have Christ see them. You see them different because you're seeing from a biblical perspective with God's eyes. Last words can be telling. Listen to the last words of some unbelievers, the last thing they said before they died. Oscar Wilde, the playwright, said, "Ah, well, then I suppose I have to die beyond my means. Whoopee!" Science fiction writer H.G. Wells said this, "Go away, I'm all right." Then he went. The atheist philosopher Voltaire, quote, "I'm abandoned by God and man," talking to his doctor by his side. "Doctor, I will give you half what I'm worth if you'll give me 6 months more life." And the doctor said, "I can't even give you 6 hours." And Voltaire said, "Then I shall go to hell and you will go with me." The comedian Charlie Chaplin said, "In the end, everything is a gag." And the communist philosopher Karl Marx, you know how great communism is? Here we are in America, and we've got a candidate running for president who is an out-and-out communist. Well, communist philosopher Karl, that's not a political statement, please. I never mentioned names, did I? The philosopher and communist Karl Marx said, "Go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough." And then he died. Now listen to the words of believers. Last words of believers. Here's evangelist Dwight L. Moody. Here's what he said as he died. "Earth is receding. Heaven is approaching. This is my crowning day." Martin Luther, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." He said it 3 times with his last breaths, and then he went home. The British pastor, Westminster Chapel, Dr. Martin Lloyd, quote, "Do not pray for healing. Don't hold me back from glory." John Bradford, 1555, to his fellow martyr, John Leaf, as they were about to be burned at the stake. Quote, "Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord tonight." Think about that. What a difference in perspective. Because those who don't believe come to the edge of eternity, and when they look out, they see nothing. You come to the edge of eternity and you see everything, everything. Reason number five, Christians have hope because we have a forwarding address in eternity. You see, we come to the edge and we see home. Colossians 1:5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Make no mistake. One of the differences between hope and hopelessness is knowing what happens after you die. Changing your perspective and the issues of your moment. Some philosophers says beyond death are fathoms of nothingness. Deepak Chopra, who's very famous these days, agrees with the Christian Science founder Mary Baker Eddy that life and death are illusions. So there is no life after death, and there is no present life, if life is but a dream. So there's really nothing even while you're here, because it's all an illusion. Some Eastern religions teach that after death, there is life in the form of a reincarnation. You get a chance to do it all over again, maybe in a different form. The Bible teaches something different. The afterlife is either eternity with God in a place called heaven, no more tears, cancer, wheelchairs, Alzheimer's, old age, loneliness, despair, war, poverty, injustice, crime, or hate, or it's eternity apart from God in a place of fiery despair called hell. The Russian writer Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote these words, "Health is hopelessness. It is no accident that the entrance to Dante's hell is the inscription, quote, 'Leave behind all hope, you who enter here.'" These are just 5 reasons that I've given you this morning to demonstrate we don't have to be bullied or victimized by our emotions, and that there are many other reasons for the believers to have hope than just this short half hour was enabling me to give you. You must be an active participant in changing your thoughts and your attitude. It's easier to avoid putting off life's difficulties and responsibilities than to face them. It's so much easier just to sit there and let it go through your head and not try to take any active interest in how you're thinking. We must accept the fact that there will be periods of time when we'll have reduced ability to manage our emotions. But God encourages us to change our thinking. Listen and look at the words to Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. He says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." In effect, what's Paul writing? He's writing, we need to stop thinking about what feeds our fears, our anger, our jealousy, our pessimism, which cause and comes out of thinking about the worst case scenario. And start focusing on the things that God will use to get us through this time. Get your mind off the negative. Put your mind on God's promises that God will get you through the storm again. You may come out the other side wet and tired, but you will be on the other side, whether that's here on earth or home in heaven. One way or another, this is going to come out in such a way that works for you. Paul tells us to practice and rehearse in our mind the powerful positive promises in the Word in order to dispel the scary negative imaginations or logical conclusions we've come to in our mind. And what a wonderful verse, Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." We think our way and we've thought our way into hopelessness. But with God's help, we can think our way out of hopelessness into hope. Hope does spring eternal. And for you who have a burden in your heart this morning, I pray that hope will bloom. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.